Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can you believe it? White Wine Question Time is playing live in the West End of London at the Leicester Square Theatre, and we would love you to come and join us. Come and raise a glass on the 13th of November. We've got the cast of Dumb Breeding. Joining me on stage will be Julie Graham, Alison Newman, Tracy Ann Oberman, Tamsin Athwaite, Angela Griffin, and Denise Welsh. We'll be raising our glasses from 4 till 6. Why not come and pop your cork with us? Tickets are available now from Ticketmaster, Live Nation, wherever you get your tickets. Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And this week, I'm raising a glass or two with, two women who not only work together, but also share the same Christian name. It's a Sally sandwich. I can't wait to take a bite. However, the chances are that you know them better by their character names, having seen them tread the cobbles of Weatherfield in Coronation Street as Jen Connor and Abby Webster. The first Sally, Sally Carman, made her name as Kelly Maguire. Confusing, isn't it? In Shameless, before taking on the role of drug-addicted Abby 4 years ago. Doesn't she sound cheery? It's a role that's brought more than she ever imagined after meeting and falling in love with fellow cast member Joe Duttin, who she got engaged to during lockdown. The other Sally, Sally Ann Matthews, first joined the street at 16, playing Jenny Bradley, the daughter of the villainous Alan Bradley and Rita's foster daughter. But she struggled with fame at such a young age and left in 1991 to earn her stripes in repertory theatre and a brief stint in Emmerdale before becoming a mother of two boys with her husband Nick Rhodes, not from Duran Duran. He is, in fact, a highfalutin QC and judge who she lives with in London. She returned to the street 22 years later, picking up where she left off and now owns the Rovers. And they are both at the heart of major storylines at the moment in what's dubbed as Super Soap Week. So I'm thrilled that they found the time to dial in today. Let's say hello to Sally Carman and Sally Ann Matthews. Thank you for joining me, ladies. How are you?
Oh, great. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Did I get all the character surnames right? Because I realised everyone gets married 18 times in a soap or dies or gets reinvented.
Yeah, you did get them right. It is bizarre that we, because I forget that I'm Jenny Connor. I still think of myself as Jenny Bradley. And Sal, you mustn't be the same at the minute. When she said it, Abby Webster, I was like, who?
Yeah.
It's the first time I've heard it. It really threw me. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm married.
I hear you had a lovely frock though, Sal.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we had to get one a size bigger because the one that I, my normal size, didn't fit. But we've got over that little trauma.
Just let it out, babe. Let it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Super Soap Week. I wasn't even aware that it was a thing. Apparently, it's a big thing.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's like the beginning of Christmas in Soapland. It's building towards chaos on Christmas Day. Is that right?
I think its original carnation was to launch the ITV autumn schedule. And right. It's just kind of a bit like we had a Britain's Got Talent week as well, which we'd do a big story then when the live shows of Britain's Got Talent were going out. So there was always something, a great big stunt then, a fire or whatever else it was, me kidnapping children.
Casual.
And then they suddenly went, oh, we like that. And that works really well. So let's do one in the autumn at the launch of the ITV autumn season.
Yeah, it's like the upfronts, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you two are both like massively involved in big storylines. I've seen some of the pictures in the press of the kind of stuff that's going on. I mean, it's not exactly shooting on a beach in Barbados, is it?
No.
No.
I loved it. I loved every single second of it. Sam?
Well.
Should we just paint the picture for the listener? I mean, it's like you're in water underground in what looks like a drain. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the dead of night?
She did the first week and she was keeping me up to date with how things were going. And you know what? I just, because of Sal, we all got exactly what we needed to stay alive, really. She suffered for it all. But yeah, Sal loved it. I mean, she's hard as nails, Sal. She's a warrior.
I'm from Oldham,
she's a machine. Well, I'm from Rotherham, but I was like, ugh. Yeah.
So obviously what we see is, you know, beautifully edited and finessed. But actually what you're shooting is hours and hours, I would imagine, through the dead of night, with water being sprayed all over you and doing numerous takes with wet knickers and bras. I can only imagine.
It wasn't nice.
And it was, you got, because it's like anything, isn't it? If you're cold and wet for a brief amount of time, it's fine. But it was like continually for hours and it was rough. I really struggled with it, I've got to be honest. But yeah, Sal was all over it. And we had this thing where I'd fall down a trap door as well. And I did it once. And once I'd landed in the cardboard boxes through this trap door, I went, I'm only doing that once. And Sal was like, it's brilliant. I'm like, no, I'm out.
Fucking great. I loved it. Which is bizarre.
You felt you were like Alton Towers or something.
Yeah, which I wouldn't ever go to. I'm so risk averse. I don't like any kind of stunt. I've always said, give me a 10-page monologue. Do not give me action. I don't like it. I still stand by that. But with this, because we were in this great big water tank with the set built into it, when I was a kid and we'd go on holiday, I didn't particularly like swimming, but I loved doing mushrooms, you know, where you put your hands around your legs. Not that kind. You know, in the swimming pool, Sal. You know what they call mushrooms, where you put your arms over your knees?
Oh, like a bombing.
Yeah, and then you'd be in the water, but then you just put your head in the water.
I thought you meant you took magic mushrooms.
Yeah, and of course you put your arms around everyone when you've had magic mushrooms.
They were called mushrooms. You did them in the swimming pool as part of your bronze life-saving award thing, when you put your pyjamas over your head and die for a Brit.
Still looking. Yeah.
And what I would do is I'd do that and I'd swim from one end of the pool to the other holding my breath. Well, little did I know that, you know, 45 years later, you've still got muscle memory and I can still do it. So, you know, if it'd been anything else, I might have struggled. But the only day, because we filmed this at a different studio completely that they hired and built this incredible set. So Sal and I were only there one day together when we did the actual stunt of falling through the sinkhole. And I think I went third. Yeah, I went third, didn't I? And I was not up for it at all. But as soon as I landed, the relief, everything, I loved it and could quite easily just kept on doing it all day long. Yeah.
Stand back, Linda Hamilton. Sally Ann Matthews is in town.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where this has come from, Sally Craven. This has come from her, Sally Ann's dedication to 50 runs in her 50th year, which I am applauding and thinking you are properly insane.
Yeah, I mean, insane. But again, just like awesome. She's just phenomenal. She's she's a one-off of herself. I wouldn't say.
But you've never run before, Sal.
No, never ever run before. And you know, when I was that, I was again that kid at school where I had really sporty friends, was always on the winning team because I made them pick me. But when I'd run, they'd all laugh because my legs would kind of flick out at the back. So
like Phoebe from Friends.
Yeah, exactly like that. So I was kind of really turned off anything sporty. And you know, I was more kind of dancey, really. So I could do a Zumba class, but I couldn't do 5 minutes on a treadmill in the gym. And I did catch the 5K, and yeah.
It's amazing. And you're doing it all, you're raising money for charities.
Yeah,
as well.
For five charities, the RNLI, Acting for Others, Action Against Cancer, Juvenile Diabetes Research Fund, and the Matt Hampson Foundation. So Cool. But I got an injury in June, so I couldn't run for 3 months. So I just thought I'd just tag that injury time on to when I'm fit and able to run. That was the master plan. Then I got an email from Virgin Money Giving to say that they're closing business as of the 30th of November. So I've had to cram them all in before the 30th of November. So suddenly I've gone from doing nothing for 3 months because I couldn't to now I've got to do at least two a week. If not three.
What?
Yeah.
Look, Eddie.
What, you at 37 in on 50, yeah? Is that right?
Did run 36 today. So I've got, another 14 to go. But I've got to get them in before the 30th of November.
Blimey.
I mean, to be fair, I am much better. I'm a bit of a last-minute merchant. I'm you know, it's like I haven't learned seven things I've got to do tomorrow. I'll do that this afternoon. So I'm much better working to a deadline. If it was left to me, I'd go, I've got ages. But no, I haven't.
And if anyone's listening and wants to jump in with a kind donation, then they can go to the link on your Instagram page. Is that right?
Absolutely. And that would be amazing if they could and if they were able to.
Yeah. Well, I salute you. You're properly nuts.
Yeah.
But it is incredibly admirable. So now, normally, ladies, I know Sally Carmen, you're at work. You've just done ADR, which is lip syncing, as it's probably the simplest way to explain it to the listener. And Sal, you're not learning lines in Manchester.
Just drinking Ribena.
So we're not having a drink today because Sally Carmen can't, because she can't go to work drunk. It's not acceptable. Yeah. Apparently.
Not on this job. There's been other jobs.
Okay. Some people have done it.
I was gonna say. And I'm not saying whether or not I've ever been one of them.
No.
I've got three questions for you, each of them designed to hopefully provoke a little bit of thought from you both. So are you ready for your first question?
Yeah.
Wonderful. You are both in the middle of huge storylines, as we've established. You've been literally in the sinkhole. But I wondered, what's the closest your own lives have ever come to resembling a big storyline from a soap?
I had a surprise wedding.
What?
Did you?
Yeah. Did you not know that, Sal?
I did know that. Yeah. I love that.
Did you? That's... When?
Oh, God, when did we get married? Well, I know exactly when we got married. We got married on my birthday. Basically, I never wanted to get married, ever. Right. I wanted to be with somebody. And for me, the decision to have a child was a much bigger commitment. So we decided that we would start a family, and we did. And then as soon as James was born, I kind of thought, oh, I want the same name as everybody else. So, all right, I'll marry you now. But I don't want a fuss.
And so romantic.
Yeah, I am. And I don't want a fuss. And you're rubbish at remembering dates. So we'll get married on my birthday at James's christening.
Oh.
So that's what we did. But brilliant. As a result now, every year on my birthday, I forget it's also my wedding anniversary. I do exactly what I...
So it worked then.
Yeah. So he always remembers, but I always forget. So we did. We had the christening, and then we were at the reception. And so the only people that knew was were my two little bridesmaids. They were only young. They were only about 7 and 9. Oh. And I took them shopping. Wow. And mum and dad didn't know. Took them shopping, so you can have whatever you want. They got silver little mini skirts with a split in it and, all of that. Oh. And my best friend and I ducked out. We did a quick change and called my dad to the back of the room. He walks out, sees me in a wedding dress, loses the use of his arms and legs. And I went, dad, pull yourself together. And we turned around and the band started playing the wedding march. Everybody had been called down for a picture. Aww. They started playing the wedding march and everybody going, oh, it's a bit out of order, isn't it? Because they're not married, you know, they've had a baby, all a bit like that, all the old years. And then gradually one person turned around and saw me and everybody just started screaming and crying.
Oh, that's so nice.
And my mother went, I've spent £70 on makeup from Clinique and I haven't got any of it left on my face.
Oh, do you know what? Do you know who else did that?
Who?
A fellow Mancunian, Sean Ryder.
Did he?
Did he? Or did he just forget?
Well, there's that. No, he didn't. He got his kids christened and they decided to surprise all of the guests by, you know, getting married on the same day as well. I hope I've remembered that correctly. Oh. I am deeply menopausal. I may have got that wrong. But he did tell that story on this very show, I'm sure.
Goodness, how bonkers.
Yeah, but I think their headset was in the same place. It's like, we've got kids, that is the greatest commitment. So,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you approached it a bit like admin cell.
Yeah, I did, but that's pretty much how I approach everything in itself. He's like at work now, we're getting bubbled so we can be, you know, in close contact. And Charlie, who plays Daisy, and she's been in the show a year now, so everything for her has been 2 meters. She doesn't remember life before. And we got bubbled the other week and she came in like this with her arms out. And I went, just because we can doesn't mean we should hug, okay?
But you used to say that anyway, Sam.
Huh?
You used to say that anyway.
That is true, yeah. But COVID's been a really good excuse for me not to go near anyone.
And your husband, Sal, was, I mean, did he have much input in this decision or did he just, because, you know, he's clearly a very smart man. He's a judge, for goodness sake, an actual real life one, not a reality TV show one.
Yeah, but he's only a part-time judge. He's a criminal QC, so he's also a recorder, so he does part-time judgery stuff. I mean, his life is obviously a soap opera and real life kind of crime drama things that he sees. I say our lives are very similar. He dresses up for a living as well. Wig and gown on
and deals with the extremities of society. There we go.
Goes in and tries to convince people of something, so it's pretty much the same thing that I do.
You're quite right. Just a whole different set of study goes into one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he actually had to go into university and get degrees. I didn't.
but you've spent your life on the stage. That is your education.
That's my training.
Well, I love that. A surprise wedding that even surprised your parents. That's brilliant. I mean, that's £70 of Clinique makeup.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. You know, we're going back to like 1999, so that was a lot.
You can double that now. That's a lot of face to lose.
Oh, even.
But I think that's probably my most soapy real life moment, I think. My life's fairly dull, to be honest.
Well, compared to your characters, let's hope so.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, she's every shade of wrong sometimes.
Yeah, she clearly is. But I bet Sally Carman's done far more interesting things than I have.
Go on, Sally Carman.
Come on, Sal.
I absolutely can't top that. For all the things that I've got up to, I mean, off the top of my head, I once dressed up as Carmen Miranda for a fancy dress when I was 9 and I won a holiday to a caravan park for the family.
That's quite good.
For a week.
That's a result.
It was all right. And then I did it again the year after with the same costume.
No.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. But I couldn't go because I had to go to school.
Ah.
Yeah. Then they got wind of it, and that was it.
That was it.
But yeah, that's true.
You had to shove all that fruity headdress to them. Just resign it to the
bin. Yeah, my mum made 2 earrings out of a coat hanger and put some grapes on it. Then she put she had this gold lamé belt which she fastened around the lack of boobage, and a tea towel for a skirt had some like fruit on it in a teapot.
And that won you a holiday, 2 years running. Yeah. Amazing.
Tell me a photograph of this, Sal.
Yeah.
There are somewhere now. Oh, I shall root them.
I want to see them on your grid.
I had a tea towel around my head with a pineapple in it.
Oh, they're grid worthy, I'm telling you.
Get those on the gram.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sally Carman, when you compare what Abby's been through, I mean, it's been 4 years that she's been on the show. Is that right? Have I got that right? 4 years?
Yeah, you have.
That time, she's had a heroin overdose. She's lost custody of her twins. She's lived rough and she's been in prison. I mean, what have you done?
Yeah. I've done nothing. You know what I've done? I've learned a load of lines, but I need like a week to learn my lines. Certainly now, I'm rubbish. But I don't know what. It's funny because most of the characters I've ever played have all been like down and out crackhead, you know, dodgy sort of mothers. And I always go to these auditions dressed quite smartly with makeup on. They're the other girl for us. It's great.
Yeah, both your Corrie character and in Shameless, they were rough riders, maybe.
Dodgy.
Yeah, dodgy.
Rough riders, the roughest of riders.
And I didn't realise that your husband, to be, had also been in Shameless. Did you not cross paths on Shameless before you found him in Corrie? No.
No, didn't see him at all. Yeah, no, didn't see him at all. Oh, if I did, I didn't really pay any attention, to be honest. To be honest, I didn't really like him when I met
him. The pair of you are so romantic.
I know. Well, I am. I'm a massive romantic. I'm such a soft ass. I love all of that. But, it took a long time for me to sort of think, you know, Joe Dittain might be, you know, something worth backing.
But, I mean, that's straight out of a Clinton's card, that line. You are reluctant romantics for sure.
Well, I mean, my husband, the judge and QC, we were watching the Married at First Sight UK reunion show last night. He's crying. He was crying at that rubbish. Remember, he has to watch it. I will say that he has to watch it because I insist on watching it. But there he is, sat there crying. I'm just like, what are you crying at, man?
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that.
You two are so.
I love it.
You're so hard.
Yeah.
Did you melt at your? I mean, I'm going to assume that Joe proposed to you, Sally Carmen. I might be wrong.
I feel
like Jeremy Paxman keep using your surname like we're on University Challenge. It is because there's too many Sallys like in this conversation. But yes, how was that was in that moment? Did you melt?
I did, yeah. It was while we were in lockdown and we were staying in the Dales at his sister's. He's got a lot of space with his kids, with two of his kids who I think were 11 and 12 then, 10 and 11. And he just read a Benjamin Myers book called The Gallows Pole, which Shawn Meadows is making into a film right now. And it's all about these coin forgers, and he was banging on about this bloody book for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying that book. I won't need to read it because you've literally told me everything that happened with it. And we were walking around this big field on this walk, and he went, yeah, and they used to, kids, have a look in between the dry stone walling, because, you know, they used to put coins and precious things to hide them in the walls. You look at that bit, Jeannie, and Joseph, you look at that thing. Sal, why don't you get involved? And I'd had a few beers because, you know, that's what we did in lockdown.
Yeah.
I was like, so I'm thinking, so I'm having a look and then I see this box. I'm like, what? And I opened it. I'm like, no way. And then there was another box inside. And I turn around and he was on one knee. And he just said, will you marry me? And I just was like, oh. But I made him do it again because it went too quick. I went, right, that was too quick. Just get so I can really enjoy it and appreciate it. And then we all had a big bear hug and champagne. And it was gorgeous. Oh, yeah, it was lovely.
That is beautiful. And lovely that he included the children in that moment as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was right. It was the perfect way to do it. Yeah.
Until you then made him redo it because you weren't satisfied with the speed of the experience.
And then it was really perfect because we all knew what we were doing. Yeah. And the time
it was just a rehearsal.
Yeah, exactly.
You were just strolling along, two sheets to the wind, thinking you were John Craven for all the chitter chatter about stonewalling. And then
that's it.
One knee.
And then there he is on one knee. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, wait, they're taking him a while to get back up after that, Sal.
Well, to be honest, at first I thought, has he fallen over? but he seemed quite steady and his hat was still on, so I presume he was in control.
Get to our age, there's a fine line between wife and carer, isn't there?
And it's getting finer. It's getting finer.
Cool fact. a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sally Carmen,
yeah.
You had, I believe, 10 screen tests and what you describe as about a million interviews over 14 years until finally getting your role in Corrie.
Yeah.
So I wondered, for both of you, when else in your lives has something proved to be really hard to reach but so worth the wait?
Ooh, okay. I would say to go all deep on you all, I would say being at peace with who I am. That's taken a long, long time. And I think just as girls, as children, being, you know, just being female, there's so many pressures. We're not even aware of half of them. And, you know, we're just pulled left here, there and everywhere, left, right and centre. And I think it took me a long time to just go, you know what, I'm all right as I am. I'm all right. I'm doing okay. I'm a nice person. I try and do my best. And as I get older, I've realized as well, the more you do something for someone else and think less about yourself, the happier you are, because we can all get a bit self-obsessed and it doesn't do you any favors. You can pull and pick all you like. It won't change anything. But I think, you know, I would say that. I would say just being at peace. And it's not a continuum. I'm not, you know, it dips in and out a lot and there's still a lot to work on. But that's what I would say. It's taken me a long time to get any kind of sort of piece of who I am.
And how did you get that? Because I think everybody's, yeah, we all pursue it and we all get there in different ways. How what was your route?
I think I've done so many routes. I've done therapy. I did Reiki for a bit. I'm quite a spiritual person. I'm a Christian in real life. That really helped because I think basically the essence of it for me is love, and it's about accepting who you are but loving others. And like I say, I think for me what it was, it's more about thinking about how you can love someone properly and fully, whether you know them or not, or and not just because they do something for you or whether you like them. It's about finding good in everyone and and putting yourself out, like Sal doing the runs, doing stuff like that. It you're doing it and you're getting something out of it, but and I know for a fact Sal will get much more out of being able to do that for other people. And I just think generally, you know, a good rule of thumb is the more you can do something to help other people, the more satisfying and fulfilling your life is, which inevitably will bring a bit of peace.
Yeah and we spend a long time getting there, don't we? I think I hit mine in my early 40s and now I'm furious because the menopause has completely destabilized it.
I know. Yeah, that is true. Certainly for me, when I hit menopause and I started seeing my body change and my face change and stuff like that, I struggled with that and I didn't think I was that hung up on how I looked. You know, I've never been that.
Same. I was really disappointed in myself for being so vain.
Yeah. And I think I realized a lot of that is to also do with the fact that as you get older as a woman, you disappear. You're not sociably acceptable. And if you've got a life in media, then as we know, we've seen it a million times. I mean, fall off the edge of the world when they hit 40 or 50 or whatever it is, as long as you manage to cling on for us, you know. So, but that is changing. And I think talking about it and podcast like this is really important. And it's just to remind yourself that actually it is just what, you know, your package of who you are. It's just, it doesn't matter. And it's just relearning that. But it's a tough one, that.
It is, because it comes at a time when you're not really firing on all cylinders anyway.
No.
So you have to learn to be a little bit kind to yourself. And also remember, it's just a moment. It's just a moment.
Yeah.
It's going to pass.
Yeah.
You just don't know how long that moment will be.
I think as you kind of, you go through childhood, teenage years, then you know, having your heart broken, all of that. And then you get to this point where you think, I've sussed it now and I'm all right. And then, so I don't think it's necessarily that you that it was vanity, but it's just like, I thought I'd kind of tick, I've done that bit now. And
I've
now
done that job. Bit,
yeah, I've done that. This is now why I just get to kind of relax and chill out now. That's what pisses me off.
Exactly, so. I mean, like, Mother Nature is no freaking sister, is she?
No,
let's be
she
honest.
Is not.
She is not. She's got a serious attitude.
She really has. She really has. I mean, she clearly was not popular at school and is carrying a lot of resentment.
Yeah, she really is.
And Sal, what about you?
I have got nothing to offer you. Except maybe when I get to the bottom of the ironing basket. That's pretty much it. I feel a sense of achievement then. I think it's because I have zero ambition. Doing this running thing is the first. I am zero ambition. So I think
I love how you reconfirm that in a mumble. I really have no ambition.
So doing this 50 runs thing is the only thing, apart from dieting, when I go, right, I'm going to lose, you know, half a stone by a week on Friday. and I'd set myself a goal that way. But I'm not a goals person. I'm certainly not an ambitious person. You know, people say, what would you really like to do, a play at the do-da-da or whatever? Nah, I'm happy just keeping on breathing, thanks. I'm watching the telly.
Do you know what, Sal? I so hear you. And we all get asked this a lot in our line of work, like, what next?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, if this could just carry on like this is awesome. I'm really happy
but
with where I'm at.
But people kind of see that as if you have no ambition, which
you've given up on yourself.
Yeah, you've given up. You've settled. And you kind of go, no, I haven't settled. I love what I'm doing. I don't feel any great need to change my life. I'd love it if my kids could sort their shit out. That would be brilliant. You know,
that's hard to reach.
That would be great. You know, I know that James knows how to wash and do the laundry because I know he can do it, but does he do it? No. And then the younger one is now he's on his year abroad. So he's in Paris at the minute and he FaceTimes me the other day. Electricity's gone off. What do I do? Right. Show me the fuse box. If they could just get, you know, if they could sort their shit out, then I think I could properly relax. Yeah.
That's, do you know what though? I think that what you've just said there is lovely because people are afraid to say that they don't have a next or a bigger ambition. And actually what you've achieved is where you're happy. You've hit your sweet spot and that's brilliant. And we mustn't apologise for that. Just own it.
And I'm not saying that something won't come along and I go, oh, I'd really love to have a go at that. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's the point. I see it now with my boys who are nearly 21 and 23, that it's all, what am I going to do? What career path am I going to choose? And I think that is drummed into us from the minute you become a teenager at school and aunties are asking you, grandmas, everyone's asking you, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And I think we funnel kids down and we narrow their choices because we force them to make a choice. So I'm not saying that something else might not come along that takes my fancy, but right now I'm really happy. I love doing what I'm doing. I get to tell different stories every week, literally, and I work with different people, and have a majority of the time I have a really good time, and that suits me. And the telly's good, and I like fizzy drink too, so. We're happy.
Winning.
Yeah.
Totally winning.
Yeah.
Love that. And that's what we should, that's nirvana, isn't it? That lovely contented state of being.
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah.
That is, yeah. It is. Mm. And that question, everything, I think, is a fact because I don't know where I got it from because I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I generally make stuff up as well. But I kind of go with that now. Whereas before that would have bothered me that I didn't get it quite right. Now I just go, I think I got that wrong, didn't I? I just made that up completely. And I own it now. I think that is the thing that maybe that's, well, my greatest achievement is owning stuff.
Yeah. Now, my final question to you ladies, what's around the premise of 6 degrees of separation? Because Sal, you discovered via an ITV documentary a few years back now, Coronation Street's DNA Secrets, that castmate Amanda Barry is actually a real life cousin of yours.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's like, crazy. That is properly crazy. And I think actually when we sit down and start to like look at our relationships and how they became, there's some really smart 6 degrees of separation that live around us that we don't even acknowledge. So do you each have, apart from your brilliant example of being Alma's actual cousin, some examples of 6 degrees of separation that led you to something good?
God, you don't, can you just ask one on sport or something? You ask really difficult
questions. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really
tough one. The
clue
is at the top of the show with the thought-provoking questions.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
6 degrees. Can you not just ask one on sport? Because like I'd know the answer.
Brilliant. All right, shall I go first so you can have a think, Sal?
Yeah.
Absolutely, so.
All right.
But then I get too busy listening to you and I forget to think of my answer, but go on.
Oh, and Matt, we talked so long because I haven't really got one. Because I've literally just got like, the Disney films, the little birds are going around the head like that. That's my state of mind all the time now. Because, Johnny, because Joe Dittine, his real name's Johnny, but his stage name's Joe because his Uncle John was a TV actor as well, so I call him Johnny just so there's no confusion. But the amount of times I go, Johnny, where's the what's it? Because it was in the thingy, and I don't know. And it's just that all the time now. It's just then I can't remember a bloody thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess my 6 degrees of separation, the one I can think of, you know, past the void of nothing, would just be the amount of friends me and Johnny have in common, or the fact that we went to the same cinema in London when we were at drama school and never met, or we were at a party and never met, or you know, those types of things.
You were in Shameless together and never met. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, exactly. It's crackers. So I guess that would be mine.
Because actually that's crossing paths on a really quite frequent basis if you think about it. And yet ultimately when the time was right, you did.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah.
So you'd been at the same cinemas as students, you've been at the same parties, you've got some of the same friends, been in the same productions and still managed to avoid each other.
Yes. I was going to say we weren't in the same productions, but Shameless, we were, yeah.
Yeah. God, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No.
Timing was everything.
Well, this is it.
And what about you, Sal?
Well, I'm from Oldham, if you couldn't tell already. And all of my family are from Oldham, all the relatives, and we work in the mills. And so when I did this DNA program and it came back that, you know, you are 90% this and 5% that, blah, blah, blah. And the bulk of it was something like you are 98% from the Northwest. I was like, I knew it, you know, from Oldham. We came to Oldham. We never moved out of Oldham. And my husband was actually born on the Isle of Sheppey because his father was a Navy pilot who was, stationed. On the Isle of Sheppey. So that's where Nick's from. And the Isle of Sheppey, dear listeners, makes Oldham look nice, shall we say.
Oh, really? Oh, it sounds so lovely.
Yeah. It sounded so like the eyes of silly.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
No.
I mean, there's an unexploded warship just off the water that could at any minute. I mean, that's what it's got going for it.
That's relaxing.
So Nick's always taken the mickey out of me from being from Oldham, and I've always taken the mickey out of him being from the Isle of Sheppey. So when I did this DNA program, I knew a lot about my dad's side of the family because, you know, my great auntie Fi was always telling stories. She was a brilliant storyteller. So I knew a lot of those. But I didn't know much about my mum's side. And Amanda Barry is a cousin on my mum's side that stayed in the Oldham Ashton area. But the family originally were from the Isle of Sheppey.
No, yes. It's meant to be.
So me saying I am northern, I've got a southern bone in my body. They were originally from the Isle of Sheppey. And then there's, I mean, the most extraordinary stories. There was the launch of the HMS Albion, I want to say, but that could be the wrong name, in about 1898. At the Isle of Dogs, and they built like this big wooden viewing platform thing. So people are there, and there is actually, I think it's one of the first examples of moving pictures as well. And the ship is launched at the Isle of Dogs, and it's all these people on this wooden, specially built viewing platform, and it goes into the water, and the backwash goes back, collapses the bridge, loads of them drown. And so a couple of my relatives drowned then.
No.
One who survived then went, they lived in Gillingham, and there was the Gillingham County Fair, and there was no fire brigade in those days, where they were all volunteers, and they used to do this thing at the county show where they would recreate a fire and then put it out. And my cousin, Royal George, he was called, you know, ancient cousin times 3 million removed or whatever he was. He's doing this demonstration, and his wife and small child, bear in mind they've lost their mother and sister in the HMS Albion disaster. She's watching her husband doing this fire thing, and the audience going, "Whoa, look at the fire. Oh, gosh, that looks really real. Doesn't it look like he's really burning to death?"
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
You're going to say something funny. That's awful.
No, I know, this is the worst story I've ever heard.
Yes.
I'm not laughing because it's funny.
Bugger this, I'm moving up north. And then they came up north. So I only found it. They never showed any of this. We never did any of this on this program. They kind of just sent me documents afterwards. And I'm going,
what the fuck?
It's awful. It's
tragic.
It's like your plight of your family, who either drowned or burned a sorry death.
Who do you think we are? Because clearly I've got very interesting stories 100 years ago.
You have.
But yeah, so there's my 6 degrees of separation that originally I'm from the Isle of Bloody Sheppey where Nick was born.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What did he say when this revelation unfolded?
Oh, he took the piss mercilessly out of there. Yeah, he really did. And I was furious because I am so staunchly northern, even though I live down south, but I am so staunchly northern. I want happy.
Well, you're not. You're staunchly Sheppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling you Shep.
Ladies, thank you so much. I'm sorry that I've fried your brain slightly. And I will do sport questions next time, Sel, I promise.
Oh, it's been great fun.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Thank you.
Have you enjoyed your white wine question time?
Yeah.
Very, very much so. Yeah. It's been lovely.
Even without the wine.
Even without the wine.
I know. So much more fun with the wine, girls.
Well, we'll do that.
Yeah, and more dangerous.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm up for that.
Thank you for being guests today and enjoy Super Soap Week. I hope that your undies have dried out, and I know that you love the acrobatics, Sel, but keep your feet on firm ground.
I'll try. Thank you ever so much. It's been a joy.
Yeah, thank you.
What a lovely episode. My thanks, as always, to our guests, Sally Carmen and Sally Ann Matthews. And don't forget, you can see them having a truly horrific time of it in Coronation Street in Super Soap Week. As always, this show is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Gabriella Colasurdo and Richard Hatherall for Yahoo UK. Editing is by Livy Knowles, and our music comes courtesy of Andy Bell. And please do recommend, rate and review us. Or if you can't be bothered to do that, just tell a friend. We'd love it if you did. I'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.